CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's Friday, so you're going to get to spend the next couple of hours, the next 48.
Carry the 4 minus the 1.
Minus 1. Let's just say the next 2.5 days you get to spend at home. Guess what? You've probably been doing that this week already.
Yeah.
But you get to do it this weekend without going out anywhere. Hooray! And you don't have to feel pressure because no one is. Any gathering of more than 50 people, whereas consumption of alcohol and sale of alcohol, the police will apparently shut it down. I'd like to see how this is going to be executed, but
it will exacerbate the symptoms.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Jane is running around singing about symptoms. Do you want to hear Jane's song? Do you want to hear Jane's song? So Jane, who obviously is
coronavirus symptoms.
She's like our ops manager around the office, and she she was mocking everybody who's claiming symptoms, even though they don't have any.
Mm.
She's saying people who don't have them and are claiming them are wasting her time. I mean, you know, Jane catches the taxi. I gave her some hand sanitizer the other day, but she's not taking all of this so seriously. She thinks it's a bit ridiculous. She thinks it's over the top. And people are making up symptoms. So I recorded her yesterday singing a song about it.
So Jane has made up a song because she heard that Dory's not coming in because of symptoms.
Corona.
Yes.
The symptoms of corona. Hey, corona. Oh. The symptoms of corona. Headache. No, my legs. Oh, I can't get into my car today because my legs. Oh, my! I'm feeling pain on my chest. Corona, yes, man. Coronavirus. Corona. Corona in the house. Corona.
Oh, my God. That's her song. Should we allow people to mock people who think they might have corona? Because maybe they're just being cautious.
Oh, come on. We need a little humor.
Yeah. We need to laugh in these COVID times.
Yeah.
Us Jane is actually going to be one of those people who will end up talking to themselves under self-quarantine. She'll just be staring at herself in the mirror, singing to herself.
Well, we are going to have Dr. D in later on. You know, Dr. D has been a guest on our show many times. She's well known to South Africans. She's no stranger to CliffCentral.com, but she's been the in-house psychologist. She's also done a series of podcasts of her own. And we're going to have her in because there is something very real that's going to happen as a result of the social isolation that people are going through. The first week is all fun and games, and you get to catch up on Netflix, and some people will be able to do a bit of house cleaning and organizing their life, and maybe you can work from home, who knows. But then, after a week or two of this, people will start getting depressed. And that's because a lot of people do live alone and are not comfortable with that. A lot of people need a lot of social interaction. And some of us are good at handling these things, and some of us are not. Mm. And Dr. D is going to tell us about the psychological effects of what this coronavirus outbreak might mean for all of us. I thought it would be a very interesting conversation to have. She's really the best person I could think of to talk to us about this. So she'll pop in a little bit later on. Don't miss that. That's at about 7:30. A few messages that we've got to get to, and then we'll talk through some of the other news that's going on. First of all, from Sean. Sean says, we desperately need manufacturing jobs. Trust me. We have all the capacity and capabilities to make everything in this country. It's a hangover from the terrible apartheid years, manufacturing and engineering, more folks going back to trade colleges instead of useless humanities subjects at university. Jesus must take the wheel today because I'm hungover as hell. Peace and love. Peace and love. And Pornhub is free here too. I tested it yesterday and can confirm. Did you see the video of Trump roasting the press again? Now, this is something that we will play because I played the Jaina thing earlier, but they've been subsequent. You know, the press is obsessed with trying to show that certain people are racist in a situation where the whole world is actually coming together, regardless of what your race or background is. They're trying to show that his real agenda is racism. So this is another clip that that we've just got this morning of him and the press having a go at each other. It's always funny.
The Chinese virus will be invoking the Defense Production Act just in case we need it.
Okay, why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does
Listen
not
to
use this.
How he says China
does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China. It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China.
China. There's a different clip I want to play you too, but I can't find it at the moment. Here's something interesting about this coronavirus. One of the doctors on one of the news programs in America, listen to what he says, what you need to know.
Right? Great advice all the time about eating right and exercising, and today they have something else that they say will keep you healthy. It's sex. Really, Dr. Somani?
Well, look, I think it's the best prescription for your health. And I don't think it's Dr. Siegel, Zitromax that's going to save you. I don't think it's Eric's Greek yogurt that he has. And with all due respect, Jamie, it's not the 3 days workout in the gym. You got to have sex, and that's what's going to save you. That's my prescription to you. What does sex do? It increases your immune system. It increases your IgA. It increases the endorphin, which is almost like morphine, takes away the headache and everything else. You know what? It actually helps prevent prostate cancer in 20% of the time. So sex, and sex. That's
okay.
My prescription.
Three times. Dr.
Well,
Siegel.
You know, studies actually back him up. Sex improves your self-esteem. Sex actually makes you sleep better. It decreases your stress. Sex is cardio. Don't just go on the treadmill. Do sex. Have sex a couple of times a week. Studies show out of England, I guess they're having more sex there, they say 2 times a week it is a form of cardio. Orgasm decreases pain. It decreases cramping. The more you do, the better of this.
No.
Decreases prostate cancer.
Listen,
this is the way to go.
Twice a week is not
enough. Function.
Next week, we're going to talk about how many times you have to do it to burn the right calories.
All right.
So people are saying sex is the best way to get yourself safe from this this coronavirus because it will keep your immune system healthy.
Hear, hear.
All right. So there's some useful information for you. Now, not everybody is so sensible. There is, of course, a paragon of sensibility in the world, and she is Cardi B. She is definitely aware of the coronavirus and has her own update. She says she is not playing around, and neither should the rest of us. This is Cardi B giving us some wisdom about corona.
I don't know what the fuck this coronavirus is about. I don't understand how that shit was from Wuhan, China. Now all of a sudden this shit is a motherfucking sword. And let me tell you something. I ain't gonna front. A bitch is scared. I'm a little scared, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit got me panicking. And a lot of you motherfuckers think it's a joke, like I was thinking, right? But that shit right there, just because you think you're immune to it, guess what? Your pocket ain't, bitch, because a lot of shit comes from motherfucking China, bitch. So if you wonder where your motherfucking weave or your fashion over motherfucking packages have arrived, guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus! I'm telling you, shit is real! Shit is getting real!
That's Cardi B. Some genius advice from her. Bitch, you wonder why your weave ain't there? Because China coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
She says. So there's some real wisdom from a great philosopher of the 21st century.
A sage.
She
is. A sage of her time, yeah, sure.
She really is. Okay, Afrikaans people are naming their kids who are born during this epidemic, and those names are quite interesting. So first of all, the names Corona and Covidna are taking off. Kovi Lee. Coronet, Corlies, Coromay, Corobus, Yakuruna, Cordray. Also some very popular names at the moment in Afrikaans families in South Africa during the coronavirus. Quarantina, Isolies, for isolation. Wuhanus. vaccine is also good, or for a girl, vaccine. Right?
That's a girl, sure.
Isolasi Marie. Cordre, virus, but with a W, and Wuhan, if it's a boy, Wuhanis, or Wuhanita, if it's a girl.
Wuhanis.
You like that, right?
Love it.
That's some good shit there. All right, very nice. I do love me some of that, and some Cardi B advice.
Coronavirus.
Now, coronavirus, y'all, coronavirus.
Shit, it's real.
Hey, how's Hi Rob doing? Hi Rob, how are you, my friend?
Hey, man, what's happening, pal?
Shit's going down in Europe, hey?
Dude, we're living in some fucking wild times right now. I just sparked up a hash joint at the fucking 6 a.m. here.
Oh.
That's pretty much my start to the Friday.
Are you going into the office?
No, man. It's like pretty much all locked down here. I didn't, you know, I had all these trips planned, everything, like skiing trips. I was coming back to SA in April, like beginning, and everything cancelled, man. They just, like, they shut it down, dude. Everything is, like, locked down besides the stores. But everyone's kind of just doing what the fuck they want anyway, you know? Like, people still, like, going out in the streets. Everyone's at the park, like, so it's, like, a weird thing, you know? It's like a twilight world right now, and I don't know what's gonna happen, bro. Like, O's are like losing their jobs here as well. Like, people in like restaurants, they're like cutting pay and shit. So even in a first world country, it's definitely fucking people up for sure.
All right, so what's happening in Amsterdam? Because that's usually a bustling, happy, excited, energetic place. There are people moving around on foot, people in the canals.
They try to shut down the coffee shops and people were like rioting. So they opened them up again. So yeah, no, that's definitely, so that what they do now is like, you can only go into the coffee shop one person at a time. So there's queues always, like lines always. And you can buy like literally your weed and then you go out and then the next person comes in. So that's how they're doing it over here. But also, bro, I'm off from work, working from home, which sucks. I don't generally dig it. But, man, it's weird, dude. But people are still out, dude. People are still in the streets. Like, I'm going to go get drunk in a park this weekend for sure. Like, I'm still going to do stuff, but just in, like, small numbers, you know? So, but, yeah, it's definitely fucking up the world for sure, bro. I'm, like, shook at all this shit. I don't know how it's going to affect SA, bro. Like, I don't know if they can recover from that shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know how we're going to handle this, but I do think it's a very serious problem all over the world, and we're all in it together, so we've got to find a way of kind of making it through together as well.
Do you think it's going to last for, like, how long, man? Because I think, like, maybe, like, UK says 3 months, like, that's fucking long, man, for, like, companies to be off the
and
grid,
and the worst part for you guys is in your summer, and you're going to be stuck at home.
Bro, no, but the thing is, I hope it doesn't come like Italy here, because we're not on lockdown. We can still leave the house and stuff whenever we want. But if it becomes like Italy, man, that's going to be super fucked up. But I did just stock up on like a fuckload of weed, and I bought like 5 different games on Xbox. So like, I'm pretty much set. And my girlfriend lives 3 streets down, so I'm going to be fucking the shit out of her for the whole summer.
All right, Rob. Look after yourself, man.
Yeah, take it easy. If I'm not dead, I'll call in.
All right, bro. Don't be dead.
Okay, thanks. Right,
thank you. Very good. Don't be dead. Have you seen this horrible video that's going around with all these celebrities singing Imagine? Oh, if you want to be united in hate against a group of people, this is the video to watch. It's been on Instagram, and Gal Gadot, who I quite like, she's a superwoman or something. She's quite attractive. But she started this thing, and really, like, Trump is right to blame the Chinese government for the outbreak because they didn't do all the things they could have in the beginning to curb it. We should hate these celebrities for putting out this filth at a time where we're already going through hell, that they must expose us to this disgusting, unbelievably insensitive, cruel, unusual punishment at a time we've got enough on our plates. You celebrities should be embarrassed. You should be ashamed.
Day 6 in self-quarantine. And I gotta say that these past few days got me feeling a bit philosophical.
What this is what happens to celebrities. If they're not around each other, their celebrity power diminishes. They have to be around each other, like kissing each other, touching each other, congratulating each other, giving awards to each other, telling each other how great they are in the movies or in stage shows or whatever. This is how celebrities behave. And now they can't do this because of isolation.
This virus
terrible.
Had affected the entire world. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from.
Right.
We're all in this together.
Yes, I'm sure it's really hard for you in your mansion in the Hollywood Hills. And all of these people, none of them have, they've all got like Puerto Rican or Mexican servants who are running out to markets buying all their food, and and then they say to them, Costanza, just Just drop it at the door and don't worry to clean this week. I'll clean. They don't clean. They just live in filth, these Hollywood celebrities. But listen.
And I ran into this video of this Italian guy playing the trumpet in his balcony to all the other people who were locked inside their homes.
Yeah.
And he was playing Imagine, and there was something so powerful and pure about this video.
Yes.
And it goes like this.
Okay, here we go.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
That's Kristen Wiig.
No hell below us.
It's Jamie Dornan.
Only sky.
Labyrinth.
Imagine all the people.
James Marsden.
Living for today.
Sarah Silverman. Now, obviously celebrities would take the opportunity to perform during a global pandemic. This is really uniting, I think, the whole world in hate against celebrities. But let's carry on. Eddie Benjamin, whoever the fuck that is.
It isn't hard to do.
Jimmy Fallon, who really should have drunk himself to death by now, but let's give him another chance. Here's Natalie Portman, who never takes a moment to think about whether she should hop into something political. And in this case, it's a little bit more attention for someone who just hasn't had enough.
Nothing to kill or die for.
Nothing to kill or die for.
No religion too.
And that one, that really exciting person was Zoe. What was her name? Zoe Isabella Kravitz. Is that Lenny Kravitz's daughter? Jesus, there was no musical talent passed down there. You know, let's carry on, because this is fun. Carry on, come on. Who's next, celebrities?
Imagine all the people.
That's Sia, who's stopped hiding her face, which was a mistake from a marketing point of view.
Living for today.
There's Sia. Yeah, go ahead, baby. Yeah, you take up longer than everyone else.
You may say that I'm a dreamer.
Don't know who that is, but I never want to see her again. Amy Adams.
I hope someday you'll join us.
Oh, my God.
And the world.
Anyway, if you want to see this nonsense, you can find it on the internet. You will also join the wave of hate.
Natalie Portman, particularly
Unpalatable, right? Oh, I used to think she was beautiful. Anyone notice that it was a male doctor advising on sex, Dr. Robin? Yes, of course.
But the important thing is, was he right? I like to think, forget his sex for a moment. Is he right?
You know, people are doing some dumb stuff. Sean mentions here, I had a 5-hour meeting with my boss. When I walked in, I coughed. Our meeting that turned out to be 10 minutes rather than the 5 hours that was scheduled. That was good. And he says he didn't make up the cough. It was a legit cough. I'm on a rant today. I love it. I'm on a rant today, according to Natasha, and she loves it. Let me just be clear about that. ISIS suicide bomber kills himself and 78 other family members after deciding to work from home. See?
Oh, no.
It's
calm.
Not good for everybody.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
We need to laugh. We need to laugh at this time.
Right.
We are not the fake news federation right now.
Yeah. Mbawala Liyahiyaho. Did you get a Samsung 4K TV yet? Because you were talking about it the other day.
Not yet. No. But I do have a dream. I need the 60-inch.
Miguel also wants to know, how's my VR kit-owning friend hanging with Corona? Well, he's loving this. So I've got a friend. He's married. He's got a kid. But he is a gamer through and through. He's got a VR headset. He's got a setup at home like you cannot believe, with screens all over the place. He thinks Corona is the best thing ever.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
He's clearly not leaving the house. He's not going anywhere.
I don't even think he's changed underwear.
Just
loving the gaming time.
Don't feed into that stereotype, please.
No, really. It's very exciting.
Next thing you're going to say, he wears adult diapers.
Hopefully not. Now, Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York. New York is one of the states hardest hit by coronavirus. But Chris Cuomo, his brother, is a CNN anchor. So the two of them often make their family issues everyone's issues. And we all have to deal with this one. Here's Andrew and Chris Cuomo. Andrew's the older brother. Arguing about who their mother likes the most.
On television.
On television. Okay. Hugely. I mean, this is what CNN is for.
Curfew. I don't like the word curfew. Dad tried to have a curfew for me. I never got past the resentment. But I do believe you'll see more tightening if the numbers don't slow.
Your problems with the curfew. It's the least of your problems. Just so you know.
I never fought. You violated the curfew all the time. Caused much pain. But that's a different story.
I don't believe in rules. Governor Andrew Cuomo, I appreciate you coming on the show. I love you. I'm proud of what you're doing. I know you're working hard for your state. But no matter how hard you're working, there's always time to call Mom. She wants to hear from you. Just so you know.
Yeah. I called Mom. I called Mom just before I came on the show.
It's not what
By the way, she said I was her favorite.
She never said
Good
that.
Good news is she said you were her second favorite. Second favorite son,
no.
Christopher.
We both know neither of us are Mom's first or second favorite in the family. I can't believe you're lying to my audience. You've blown the credibility of the entire interview. I should have ended it before.
Second favorite son. Listen to the words. Listen to the
Politicians
words.
Politicians are very tricky. You throw a word in there after the first time you said it. Creates a lot of doubt. But I appreciate you clarifying.
Not complicated. That does happen in all families. I mean, my brother and sister and I argue all the time, but it's very clear that my mother's favorite is my brother. And my sister agrees.
But is he objectively a better person than all of you?
No, he's not. But this happens in families.
But are you just getting sensitive?
If I were a parent, I would also have a favorite.
Yeah.
But can the 62-year-old governor of New York State, which is going through so much right now, take this family drama off TV?
Outrageous, Sia. Outrageous.
Yeah, New York has bigger fish to fry, because did you hear that they're releasing some inmates from prison?
Oh, yeah.
With the coronavirus.
This is a great idea. This is terrific. And it could only happen in Democrat-controlled states, where they're saying, you know what, because of the coronavirus, we will release dangerous criminals. In other words, if you're caught on the street or going to a restaurant or something, you might be arrested because you are not socially isolating yourself. But a criminal who's actually robbing those places will be released. That's great. That makes a lot of sense.
According
well done to everybody.
The mayor, Bill de Blasio, this is how
Bill de Blasio, that's right.
This
Genius.
Is how he justifies it.
Democrat governor of New York.
They've decided that they'll be releasing inmates that they deem vulnerable to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Yeah.
Releasing them into a
jails.
Population that will be vulnerable to the criminals. Good move.
I'm trying to get through this.
It's so stupid, right? You can't believe how stupid it is, and you're reading it.
So he announced this on Wednesday, so it should be rolling out today, because he said in the next 48 hours, we will identify any inmates who need to be brought out because of either their own health conditions, if they have any pre-existing conditions, or because the charges were minor and we think it's appropriate to bring them out in this context. That said, we still need our criminal justice system to function.
As George W. Bush said, in a time of war, you have no reason to give criminals a reprieve. What you do to criminals during a time of war like this, where we're fighting a dangerous virus, is you do the testing on them. Get the prisoners and start testing. We test every vaccine, even the dangerous ones. Come on, this is a good time for us to make use of people who are always home quarantined.
Oh no. No.
That's such a good suggestion. I've always wondered.
Thank you, Mbulelo. I knew you would support.
But I've always
what nonsense.
I've always wondered why companies that that test on bunny rabbits. Of course, there's a good reason, you know, why they test their product. Why don't they do it on prisoners?
I know.
And then what happens?
Do it on murderers.
And then what happens one day when you are unfairly locked up?
If
you're a murderer.
Unfairly.
If I'm a murderer.
There are some people who've been sitting on death row for 30 years for being accused of murder that they haven't done.
Well, look, tough. Get a better lawyer.
Don't be a medic.
In a time of war, you've got to make the right decision.
Well, the mayor further justifies this by looking at the case of a correction officer and an inmate that both tested positive of the coronavirus early this week. It was on Tuesday. But also on the other side of the scale, New York State was also rolling out some inmate-made hand sanitizer.
Trustworthy. Listen.
Why can't you trust
Bill de Blasio? Bill de Blasio is the least successful mayor of New York in living memory. And the guy is so hated that his own police officers, the NYPD, turned their backs on him during public meetings and gatherings where he's present. Everyone in New York hates him. By universal consensus, he's one of the worst mayors in the world. This guy wants to release criminals onto the streets. It's no wonder. He's just chock full of bad ideas.
Ooh.
Chock full. Gareth, please say that you guys will not be shutting down. You have an even more important role than ever in our lives. I'm sure your audience is going to grow as well. You guys make us feel safe, and we also know we can trust the updates coming from you. Thank you so much to all of you for your amazing service. Well, listen, you're giving us way too many compliments here, but don't worry, Joe, because we're not going anywhere. Even if we all pitch into the show from our various houses, because we can do that thanks to technology, we are not going to leave you in the lurch. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're launching a new show next week, which will help people who are in the position where they can't afford to advertise what's going on in their business, but they're dealing with coronavirus. We're going to let those people have a place to share their stories, to help us figure out ways to make it through this crisis together. And you don't have to worry. We'll be there to hold your hand every day for at least these 2 hours. And we've got lots of other programming planned that will give you answers to questions that you probably have. Don't stress. Joe, we're on your side. Don't you worry. Hey guys, have you heard any news on this? Apparently India has reported bird flu cases in 3 separate locations. Ooh, we don't need that. That's the H5N6 avian influenza. Highly pathogenic. Do not need that. I don't know anything new about that, but I'll look into it for you, for whatever it's worth. A very salient point being made by Daryl. Daryl says, Trump is right. This is a virus that comes from China, and once China has rid themselves of the virus, they expect the rest of the world to go on their knees and import a whole load of Chinese manufactured products, which obviously will quadruple their productivity. This is a Chinese virus conspiracy. Well, listen, Daryl, some of what you're saying is true. This virus does come from China where it was manufactured. I don't think that's true. I think it's a natural pathogen that came from what they in China call wet markets. It's where people eat bizarre and exotic things that probably pass on very specific pathogens. They say that this one might have come from bats, and bats are an especially bad ecosystem for viruses to live in for a number of reasons. They live in caves. There's guano.
They don't brush their teeth.
Bats do not. We know from bats have terrible reputations for not brushing their teeth.
Yeah,
so they don't use deodorant under those big wings.
You see what it is.
You got to be very careful of bats. So, Daryl, just calm it down. Okay? I hear you. And you and Donald Trump are China. The problem is this virus is from China.
I think we have another epidemic on the way. Of course, it's winter now. So we're going to have oranges and nachos. Now Sia is going to be eating those in the bath. Imagine that.
Sia eats food in the bath, which is, again, another terrible possible source of pathogens. We've got to stop this. People, please behave yourselves. Now, I do want to turn our attention to something that is quite important. Dr. D is a longtime friend of our show. She's also been on radio in South Africa for years, helping people understand the psychological implications of what's going on in our lives. And Dr. D is a good friend of ours, and we decided, you know what, when you want to talk to someone who's the best in the business, who knows the most, who can give us the best advice, you don't mess around. You get Dr. D to sit down with you. And we've been talking for a long time about, you know, isolation, and we've joked about it, and people are sending memes to each other, and thanks to the world of the internet, we're more connected than ever. But in some ways, we're less connected than ever. And although everybody's enjoying this idea of working from home and being isolated at the moment, it is going to eventually turn to depression. And Dr. D is the person to help us figure our way through this. And like I said just a moment ago, we'll hold your hand through this whole thing, no matter how long it takes. And here she is. We've managed to get Dr. D out of self-isolation to come and give us some good advice. How are you, Dr. D?
I'm fine, and good to be back.
Well, we love you, and I'm sorry it's taken so long.
Love you too. Under difficult circumstances, I love you under all circumstances, but difficult circumstances,
so
I mean.
You were the first person to come to mind when I started thinking about the long-term implications of this. I mean, society is, we're social animals.
We are indeed.
And now we can't meet up. We can't get together in groups of bigger than, I think it's 50, but it'll eventually be 10. People are looking to their families. People are panicking. They're panic buying. What's going on?
Look, I mean, it is an unprecedented, you know, shift, a global epidemic. There's just mass uncertainty going on. People are feeling totally out of control. And it's really interesting because so much of what we do usually is trying to tell people and help people to get control of their lives, be in the driver's seat of your life. If you don't like the circumstances, be creative and change them. 90% of what happens to people, or 5% of what happens to people, is luck, fate, or circumstance. Take care of the 90%. The 5% takes care of itself. So it's get on top of things, be in control. And of course, in our ordinary lives, you know, life happens. No one is immune to life. Mm-hmm. You're subject to both predictable but often unpredictable life events that can sort of hit you like a curved ball. And then people turn around and say, well, you know, it's not fair. Why do bad things happen to good people and so on? When something like this happens, there's another kind of dynamic because it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
You can't turn around and say, well, it's not fair. It's a mass thing, and that has its particular, everybody's in it together, and that has a particular response, many responses. But the first thing is that there is a sense, there is a kind of sense, especially at the beginning, and I'm not sure if that will sustain, of we all in it together, we need to cooperate, nothing joins people more like a shared emotional event. You know, you see it at good times as well, like what happens when South Africa wins the World Cup, or when there's the major political transition, or when there's a real major tragedy. Somehow people forget their differences for a while, and they become kinder, more mindful, more polite, and they sort of think of themselves as, look, I'm in it, but so are you. We all a member of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And people have said they're noticing it, the ones who are going out on the road. People are stopping, letting them through a bit. There's this kind of, okay, you know, I know what you're going through because I'm going through it too. So there is that sense of a little bit more of community and camaraderie. But as this increases, with scarcity coming in, scarcity of resources, scarcity of food, scarcity of medical supplies, I think that it's possible to see another side of human behavior.
Well, that worries me, because you're already seeing the fact that we have to isolate ourselves from each other is probably not good long term, and people have already become more selfish and less community orientated. It's something that Bulelo raised this morning.
We're talking about like panic buying and
but also just the fact that people are shutting themselves off, and it's, you know, it's me and my family, and screw everybody else. Which happens.
You know,
I mean, that's happening in Europe.
I'm not finding that right now, you know, so much. I think that it's me and my family, which is hard for them to deal with. Look, what happens in these kind of things quite often, also depending on circumstances, is that you have time, and you're also propelled to doing like a self-audit. We all audit our companies regularly.
Right.
And this is the time where you say, my goodness, you know, there's a vulnerability. The future is now. Maybe it's not one day when anymore. You kind of come in touch with all the talk and people's obsession with screens. They're not getting away from it. You know what? One of the things that we'd like to say to people is keep up. You know, get into a realistic the balance between what's more contagious. Is it panic, or is it the virus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we getting more hooked on, and how do you get the balance, which we can talk about? But you kind of realize, okay, it's time to take stock, reevaluate my goals. Where am I going? Where have I been? What's important to me? How do I want to spend my energy from now on? And a lot of people report on a kind of a time, because they've got the time, without having to negotiate the traffic or be in time for the next meeting or worry about of hang on. You know, I've been on this treadmill. Is it where I want to go? What kind of changes maybe can I make? How do I translate perhaps a new awareness into action going forward for the betterment of my life and maybe the... So I'm saying that it's a chance to not let suffering go to waste, if you like. If we're going to go through it, are there new realizations and lessons that you can learn that perhaps you haven't focused on before that might enhance your future positively? So people are talking, for instance, about the recognition and the power of support, even though they're not seeing each other. Okay, there's the family support or whatever. But they're appreciating the phone calls, especially those who've got the virus already.
Yeah.
They all refer to the number of calls, the way people have been to them, the recognition perhaps of a family member who's always been there, but who sort of rises like a phoenix, which you didn't recognize before. And then other things, they talk about, geez, I've had to confront the balance between how much of life is under my own, my responsibility, mm-hmm. and how much isn't. Where is the balance? What can I control? And then coming to the realization of not everything. You can be out of control, and then not panicking at being out of control. You can say, I can't control this, and I can't control what's happening, but what can I do to make my reactions more sane and better? And how do I get a perspective on recognizing that fear and doubt and uncertainty are a normal reaction,
right,
to a hugely traumatic situation.
And no one's immune to that.
And no one's immune to that. And in fact, you know, I always say if you don't own the story, you absolutely can't write the ending. You can't. You have to stand in the fire. So, you know, these things that I see of, you know, all the time, just think positively, you know, forget about it. It's not. I think you have to own the reality of it.
Yeah, and that the reality for most of us will change, even if. You know, even if things don't get worse, they'll be different.
Mm.
This is what I was saying yesterday. But I want to ask you specifically about one thing, because I think a lot of people are quite cavalier about this now. It's all fun and games, and it's different, and it's novel. And obviously we have those fears and those doubts about what could happen next. But what's also going to creep in, and people maybe haven't wrestled with this yet, is that you're going to get depressed, because suddenly all your normal routines are out of the window. People can't meet each other socially. They can't go to gym. They can't do the things that they would have done with their families. You can go out for lunch or coffee or tea or, you know, whatever people do to entertain themselves and to make themselves a part of a bigger society. That stuff's going to be limited at very least.
Mm.
And people will get depressed.
Mm. I think some people will get depressed. You know, for me, I guess maybe, Gareth, but, you know, I think of it as quite a severe diagnosis, depression. I think okay. that they'll get frustrated. I think that they might feel disconnected from other people. I think that they might get in touch with being lonely. Some might get depressed, but if you understand what you're in for and you start experiencing what you're in for, you have to creatively find strategies of adapting to the situation. You know, I think that there are a lot of pros and some cons of social media. First of all, I mean, you know, we wouldn't even be, I'm not saying in terms of the virus, but in terms of panic and awareness, where we are if it wasn't for the social media and the obsession with kind of keeping up with it, it's like it doesn't leave you, because people think if they haven't seen the next statistic, they're missing out on something.
Now, let me ask you about that for a second, because I do think there's a certain amount of panic here that might be unjustified, that the media, we know they run on ratings, and in order to keep audiences, they have to keep you afraid. And there's a lot of this emergency. If you just look at the graphics on TV now, when they talk about a story, it's always breaking news, emergency,
absolutely.
Crisis,
absolutely.
Pandemic. You know, these words that they're using are meant to make you, put you in a heightened state of awareness and make you paranoid.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's unnecessary, because actually, if you look at the statistics, which they're trying to make us do, contrary to their own intentions to keep us watching, this thing is not unprecedented in terms of the number of deaths or the number of infections. It's something to worry about, for sure, and we've got to be responsible. But there's like this this mad, and now everybody else gets into it, so they all pass on the info, and passing on the info makes people feel like they are part of the story, and it's all not particularly healthy.
Look, I agree with you. I think that that part of it really is exaggerated, and it's kind of, we've been captured by it, you know, and that we can't really get, and the thing is that we feel that we shouldn't be getting away from it. Look, I experienced something now very recently. I was meant to be talking at a conference in England, and it was a high-level women's conference, and it was all about mental health. And when I was answering some of the questions that they wanted, I felt sort of strangely disconnected because I thought, you know, why am I talking about this? It's relevant and it'll always be relevant, but the world is in crisis because of the coronavirus. I felt that I shouldn't even be talking about anything else, that if they want me to address something, it should be addressing this. And the other stuff that they're thinking of as kind of newsworthy for their blog isn't, and that no one really is going to be too interested in reading what they hoped what was going to be the theme of that conference. And, you know, I mean, it's been, I'm trying to think of how someone put it, they said something like equating a week to a year. It's been like a year's week or something. You know, it's only been a few, not long since the president made the announcement. And
it's been less than a week since he made the announcement.
So I think that you're right, and I think that it is unhealthy. And then they always end these things by saying, but don't panic. But don't panic. You know, it's let's tell you all of this stuff, but actually stay calm. And it's kind of, the whole thing has been built up to kind of get you into that state. And then they say, well, you know, don't panic because actually it's fine. I mean, it's, if you can just mixed, turn it
talk
off.
Talk about mixed messages.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think the thing is that there's a difference between the word that you used in terms of getting the news out in a very panicked kind of way and information. We have to give information. It has to be realistic. People are entitled to know that we need to talk about some strategies to prevent people from getting depressed. You know, the thing is that it might be time that things that you've been saying, okay, one day when I've got time at home, I'll do this. Even simple, perhaps mundane things, like get some order into my house and clean it out, or read a book that's been on the top of my list for ages, or sit down and connect with people differently. And there are ways of doing that, you know, of kind of stimulating that sort of conversation.
Well, for some people, it might be very uncomfortable to actually get to know the people they live with.
Yeah, it absolutely could be.
You know, there are these workaholics who use the excuse of work. Look, sometimes there are a few people who are genuine workaholics who love work and spend time there because it fulfills them and they bring home the bacon for the family. But the reality is, too, that a lot of these people are just avoiding each other.
Absolutely. And you say to the alcoholics, you know, if you had to say...
The alcoholics or workaholics?
I mean, sorry, workaholics.
Because the alcoholics are another problem.
It's like, that's another problem. That's an extended problem. They shouldn't be self-isolating, actually, on their own with whatever's in their cupboard.
Yeah.
No, but absolutely. You know, if you say to people, what is your priority in your life? You know, what are the things that are most important? Even the workaholics often turn around and say, but without doubt, it's my family.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and say, well, how do you translate that into action? And they say, what do you mean? I said, you know, and then you say, well, you know, do you spend time with them if they're a priority for you? And they say, well, you know, there are the 3 weeks of quality time at the end of the year. And then you say, do you think you can have quality without quantity? You know, it's kind of like a river that flows all the time. If you miss that moment, you might have missed that moment. You have to build up the quality over interactions and a period of time. So, yes, it is a bit of a cop-out. I remember once a kid got a scholarship overseas. He finished matric and the dad freaked out. He said, you're too young. You're 17 or 8. I can't let you go. And they were talking together and this kid turned around, it was a very poignant moment, and said, you know, he said, you've always been my father, but suddenly now you want to be my dad.
Oh, gosh.
Where have you been?
Wow.
You know, all of the time.
And the dad was obviously always at work.
He was always at work. He was one of these thinking, okay, I'm making money and all of that. Yeah. Of course my family are my priority. But, you know, knowledge is nothing unless you translate it into action. How do you show that? And, you know, and now maybe you've got to have a bit of a grapple with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And at least it's with yourself, so one of you is going to win. And you hope that it's going to be, you know, you hope that it's going to be the better part where you will develop awarenesses and skills and strategies that hopefully you can harness. I think there's the potential of some realization that, in this kind of self-isolation, forced isolation, but time to kind of use it to come to terms with things, a priority shift. You know, what is really important to me? The redefinition of abundance. Abundance used to mean a lot of things and abundance of doing. Now, you know, can we start thinking of abundance of being? Abundance of connecting, you know, and those kind of gifts that it can bring, probably when we get back, which we will. I mean, every game will be full. There'll be queues in restaurants. I look forward to that day when the markets rise and we probably sometime quite soon after the vaccine, there's still going to be casualties of the system. But there are little gems. You know, the Chinese had the same symbol of crisis as opportunity. They could see inside the crisis. If you negotiate the crisis and stand in the fire, and understand that there are like some hidden opportunities, and they're usually to do with the enhancement of self-awareness and priority. And priority almost always is to do with the fact that we are wired for connection. And are we maximizing that enough? There was some wonderful little bit of research. It wasn't formal research, but it was fascinating to me after 9/11.
Oh, yeah?
And what was done after 9/11 is they had these researchers contact all the families who lost someone. Then there were more than 3,000 people that died. And they asked them one question, and they said, were you, with the aid of modern technology, you know, did you receive a phone call? And many of them had received one last phone call at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And they said to them, well, what did your loved one say? And every single one said exactly the same thing.
I love you.
I love you. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Now, we don't walk around like as if we're in crisis and going to meet our maker every minute.
Sure.
You know, the fact that I could get lost coming here is a bit of a crisis if I'm going to be late. But it also tells you a little bit about being grateful of what's going on in your life, that you're not living like that all the time. And I hope that there might be renewed gratitude of, my goodness, I've got a job and it's actually quite nice, you know, and enjoy some of the things that we just always took for granted in a better, have a renewed kind of sense of gratitude for who you are, for your life, you know, for your family, having gone through this huge knock and come out with it. The other side that I'm worried about is what's going to happen. In our country, we might even see politicizing of it, you know, of scarcity resources. And that brings out another side of, you go down to the very bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, toilet paper.
And when it comes to survival, yes, I mean, that is, you know, I mean, and some of these things are sort of light relief, but they've got, like that little sting, that little element of truth when you see the people fighting in the supermarket, you know, and it becomes me against them when there's scarcity. It's fine when you
but the caveman that you, I remember you taught me that amygdala response thing in
people. Yeah, when we were
With the Oscar Pistorius thing. And I remember you saying that to me, and I've identified that a few times in people where there's that fight or flight, where there's that gut reptilian reaction to things. And I mean, if people are fighting over toilet paper, you know society's in a bit of trouble.
Sure.
It's a little bit tense.
Sure. It's a, look, the thing is,
you're
if
right,
there's
Dr.
a
D,
reality.
You've got some toilet paper?
So, I stocked up.
But you didn't stockpile.
No, I didn't stockpile. I didn't stockpile. No, you know, when one of my kids sent me that, you know, these jokes, as I say, there's elements of truth, but they're sort of light relief. The one with the toilet papers, you see this huge safe with like double locks and combinations and all of that. Someone opening the safe and you think that there's like this hidden treasure. It shows you, you know, and of course there's a roll of toilet paper and the guy goes in there, takes one little square and then locks it up again, you know, like the new valued commodity.
Dr. D, I've got a question for you. While I've got you here, I might as well ask. You know, you've spoken of something, the habits that we formed. And as I'm quite a creature of habit myself, when you work with clients that are looking to undo bad habits, so it could be drinking, it could be not loving the partner, whatever, the myriad. What have you noticed? How long do you think it takes to undo bad habits? And can you put a time scale on that? Because I don't know if the question...
Listen, Bulela, first of all, if you want Dr. D to be your therapist, she's too busy and she's too expensive. But I do think this is a good question, especially in, if you don't mind me contextualizing it in the conversation we're having. Because people might have a bit of time now to sort themselves out.
And as you say, sometimes looking in the mirror isn't so easy.
Sure.
Sometimes you say, hello, where have you been for the last 3 years? It's nice to meet you. You know, I don't even recognize you anymore. Can the two of us come together? You know, my mirror and I, you know, but I think what you're talking about is sort of regular behavioral habits. There's like the textbook answer of that. You want to change the habit, you've got to practice it and it takes about 3 weeks and, or, you know, when you get used to a new phone or when you're used to working things or doing things in a particular way and you know that there's a better way. It's a much harder thing when you talk about my habit is that I don't talk to my wife because that's a much deeper kind of thing. In order to change that, first of all, there's some kind of sense of you've got the time now, let's say, to think of, you know, my life would be better. I don't know if hers would be, if you had to speak to her. But, you know, certainly you're talking about it from you. That's a shift that I really want to make. And it's not really a habit. It's a kind of different way of being. And so you would have to say, are there any, in the times that I do talk to her, are we connecting? Are there any obstacles? Or what has happened to us all the time? Sometimes it's not all that sort of D&M, deep and meaningful. Sometimes it is more like because I've got my role where I go to the office and she's got her role where she's connecting with the kids. Perhaps that's pretty politically incorrect and old-fashioned or whatever her role may be. And then, you know, you realize that you're not doing much for yourself or for your children because we say, you know, maybe the best thing you can ever do for your children is connect with your spouse or love your spouse, which is very, very good for them. Mm. Anyway, and so if you're aware of it, first of all, you might have to deal with some of what your internal obstacles are, your fears of having to change that. You know, but if you can't access that and it's just a matter of it would be a courageous conversation with her and say, you know, I'm really realizing, and it's a gift, when I have this kind of time that we've kind of been out of touch. I look at you, you know, across the breakfast table and say, who is this person? You know, what does she think? What does she feel? What's her most radical fantasy? What are the things that she's scared of? Where does she want to be in 2 years' time? What's her own goal, her dream, her aspiration? You don't have those conversations when you're worried about getting the kids to school on time or if you're going to be paid enough to feed your family at the end of the month. So maybe now, if you want to make that shift, you can consider it a habit, but maybe more than a habit, to do the work that you need to make that reconnection again. Mm. And say, I want to meet you again. Come and meet me. I'd love to have more of a slice of you and vice versa. And, you know, people like that if you say, I've missed you.
Yeah,
it's different from saying, you know, you haven't been around and where the hell have you been? But if you say, you know what I'm realizing in myself is... I think I love
that Bulelo has hijacked a very interesting conversation for his own non-existent relationships needs. But But Dr. D, it's always good to see you. I'm afraid we've got to get to George Meany, who's on the line now.
Okay.
But if you'll just hang around, I want to just chat to you afterwards.
Sure.
And Dr. D is probably going to become a bit more regular of a feature as we start to unpack what this coronavirus change in life means for a lot of people. And in the meantime, just look after yourself, all right? Let's go to George. George Meany's on the line. He's the CEO of Auto Trader, and it's time for us to find out what's happening in the world of motoring and the motoring lifestyle. And George, you guys are completely quarantined, right?
Yeah, from the end of today. How's it, Gareth?
How's it? So you're not going into the office. None of your people are.
Well, we are today. At around 5 o'clock today, we're shutting all the offices and everybody's working from home. We've spent the last week in frantic mode trying to operationally change the business, which I tell you, for a business that has offices, is a tough thing to do, yeah. Even for a technology or digital business. You know, you have things like big media files on servers that multiple staff members need to access, and getting them access at high speed into those file servers is a challenge to do.
Yeah, and obviously this is going to affect people. I noticed this morning already on the roads there's a little bit less traffic. What are we seeing in terms of traffic to your website?
We haven't seen a decline, so well, that's one of the things we've been watching very carefully, because an indicator of a decline in consumer car shopping, or a leading indicator, would be a decline in a search on our website. So yeah. We've been watching it every single day, and we haven't seen a decline yet. You know, you just never know in this situation, because it's unprecedented in South Africa, I think. But there hasn't been a decline yet. We haven't heard customers saying that consumers are pulling out of car deals. So it seems like at the moment consumers are still shopping for cars and buying cars.
All right, give us some idea of what's going on in the world of motoring, even though this pandemic has put lots of things on hold.
Yeah, so everybody is trying to do everything digitally, including Suzuki South Africa, who launched their new Espresso Suzuki via social media. Usually car launches are big affairs and big physical events, and this time it was done via social media, so the car was introduced online.
Hmm, that's very clever.
It's very, very clever. But BMW SA has also shut their plant in Roslyn for a month. So their plant's also shutting down by the end of today. And for a month, the BMW plant will not manufacture cars.
Yeah, that's quite a big deal too. I'm imagining that they're going to keep their staff and they'll reopen and everything will carry on as usual. But they're going to have to cost cut like everybody else in this country now, right?
Yeah. I think the trick for any business is to try and sit on as much cash as you can, because if you can sit on cash, you can make this or ride this wave right through, you know, if it doesn't last for too long. And I suspect that businesses are doing that. As a matter of fact, the plant in Roslyn, the BMW plant in Roslyn, has a capacity of about 76,000 units annually. So chances are they could make up the volume if the virus goes away in the short to medium term.
All right. What else do you have to tell us?
Uber and Lyft are suspending their pool and ride-sharing services in certain countries. Uber suspended its service in the U.S. and Canada, and Lyft suspended all of its services in all markets. Hmm. In South Africa, Uber, however, says that they will continue the service based on a
Hello, George?
But in some markets, Uber and Lyft have... Yep, you there?
Yeah, sorry, we got cut off for a second, but you're back.
Yeah, there we go. The Uber and Lyft services in many markets have shut down. In South Africa, Uber says that they're continuing the service based on driver supply and consumer demand.
All right.
And then a very exciting piece of news. Samsung has presented a solid-state battery with up to 800 kilometers of range. Now, you know that batteries use lithium ion in our current cars. Samsung has developed a battery that uses what's called carbon composite. So it's like carbon fiber, and it uses carbon composite instead of the anode being lithium ion.
Right.
And this is a solid state battery that doesn't have any liquid in it, which is a lot safer, but also can hold a lot more power reserve, which is quite exciting. I think one of the biggest problems with electric cars today are the batteries. It's not the motors, it's not the software, it's not the hardware, it's just the batteries. And if Samsung can change the world when it comes to batteries, I think electric cars, once the coronavirus goes away, will become even more in demand.
Right. Well,
and then a funny story. A Russian man duct-taped himself to a Ford Mustang during this time of this virus. He wanted to feel the wind in his hair, and so he got one of his friends to duct-tape him to the side of the car and drive it at almost 160 kilometers an hour while he was duct-taped to the side of his Mustang.
Oh, my God. Only a Russian would do that. Was he all right by the end? Nobody died?
Yeah. Nobody died and nobody was hurt, and he was all fine.
Yeah, there are enough social media accounts dedicated to showing you what dumb stuff Russians do, especially when they're drunk. So I'm glad this guy's okay. All right, George, look after yourself. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Cool. George Meany. And that is a wrap for us this morning. We will see you on Monday, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Thank you, Dr. D, and to you for joining us. We will be back with more information and hopefully some kind of good news on Monday. If you just look after yourself, you self-isolate, you do the right thing, you wash your hands, you know the basic stuff. We should all be here on Monday to carry on the conversation. CliffCentral.com